You first? All right, they switched it up on me. Teresa's first.
Teresa.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Teresa.
Hey, Teresa.
You want me to read? I got to read that. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, I'm an addict named Teresa. And I feel so, so nervous. You know, I first want to thank God for another day clean and for the fellowship. And I'm feeling really overwhelmed right now because I'm vulnerable to tell the truth. I'm vulnerable in front of faces that I really don't know. But I know that we share a common purpose. And that's the front and foremost thing that I have to keep repeating to myself. The topic is, can I tell you the truth and still be your friend? Well, you know, that sounds like a big girl topic to me. You know what I mean? And I, you know, like the programming chair came over to me and he said, can you do something for me? And I was looking at him and I was like, what? You know, and he was like, can I tell you the truth and you'll still be my friend? I said, you can tell me the truth and I'll still be your friend. So I said, what's the topic? He said that was it. And that was about a half an hour ago. So, you know, I didn't have a chance to really do that thing that I normally do, like call my sponsor, you know, so she can give me the reaffirmations about what I have to offer the fellowship and what I have of the program in these almost 8 years of staying clean. So I didn't get a chance to do that. I just had a chance to go run and get a smoke, you know, pray, get my books, try to get a few things. And one of the things that I got in touch with on the way back up to the to this meeting was that I had to ask myself, have I truly been a friend to someone else in order to be able to tell them the truth or to even be open enough for them to tell me the truth? And taking an honest assessment of that, I'm going to tell y'all the truth. No. I ain't been doing that 100%. Because what I do is I manipulate and I set up situations so that the people I invite in my life can't tell me the truth. You understand what I'm saying? Except for the sponsor. Because, you know, sponsor break it down. You know, it ain't too much about the sponsor that you're going to be getting except for the bare bottom line truth. And guess what? And if you ain't got a sponsor like that, that hit you in the gut, my suggestion might be that you look around again. Because I tell y'all that I set up the situations to not invite people in to have the tendency of being able to tell me the truth about me. So if I do that, then how do I not have somebody in my life telling me the truth about me? How did I get there? Years of mistrust of others. And check this, I know I ain't the only one in here that do some old stuff like that. Because we all get down like that. You might be a little more progressed. Because you know the disease I suffer with want me to believe that I'm alone. In the way that I set situations up in my life. Just for the day. Book says in Friendships, August 21st, page 243, our friendships become deep and we experience the warmth and caring which results from addict sharing recovery and a new life. But how about the disease I suffer with, right? Put a spin on that. Because that's not to say that all my relationships in my life are filled with manipulation, because I do have some. But it's at my level of control. I know I ain't the only one. See, the thing that I was attracted to when I first got here was that y'all was all happy, joyous, and free. Even if it just appeared that way. And I was attracted to that, and I kept coming back because I come from a world where I was the only child. I really didn't feel like I fit in. I always was fighting to fit in. I started stealing to fit in to be your friend. Because if I had the most shit in my girdle, then you know I could fit in. Or if I got enough credit cards, or if I had the sharpest outfit on, then we could be friends. I believe that that's what it took for me to fit in with people. This morning, my son called me, and he was like, Mom, did you go to the dance? I was like, no, Darius, I don't dance. You know, and I he said, well, why? Don't you know how to do them steps from back in the day? You know, like I'm old and everything, because I'm young, you know. But when he said that, you know, like I got in touch with how the disease has robbed me at an early age of developing relationships with other people because I felt like I was so different. So I said, well, Darius, you know, I used to be really antisocial, so I didn't have enough confidence in myself to know how to dance. So I didn't. You know, and that self-centered fear, which at the time I didn't know was self-centered fear, you know, I just thought, oh, I'm cute. But for real, for real, I was scared to death. I didn't even think that nobody would even ask me to dance. So I really kept myself standoffish. And that was kind of the way that I came into Narcotics Anonymous. In that same way that I did back in the 80s up on the wall at the house party. And I came in and I stood at the back. First time I stood at the back in 87. And I was like, they crazy. They was up here giving it up raw. They was like, shut the F up, sit down. And I was like, oh, my mother don't talk to me like that. You know, I ain't stay. They crazy. I'm not staying in there with them. And I left. And sad to say, I had to experience the horrors of addiction to drag myself up in here. What was it, about 12 years later to the front row, you know. I didn't even give myself a chance to allow the disease to tell me that y'all was crazy. Because guess what, whatever y'all was saying, I wanted to hear it. Because my track record and the jail cells just kept closing behind me because I couldn't fit in. I wasn't fitting no more. So I came in here and, you know, like I still was that girl up on the wall again. You know, still definitely frightened, but I was attracted to y'all. I was attracted to them new cars and shit. And that education I was hearing folks in here talking about. So I started doing those things. I started, you know, I got a job. Got some education. Still getting some education. You know, because one is too many, a thousand never enough. I ain't settled now. Now I feel like I need more. I'm graduating with a master's degree in May, and I'm already to the next school. But that still has nothing to do with the program. The program requires another level of commitment from me, almost 8 years clean, another drive, you know. Can I tell you the truth and still be your friend? Like, how about I believe all y'all is my friend? I don't even know y'all all. But I believe that the fellowship is my friend. And if I can't come in here and talk about how I fall short, how I fall down, then I'm in big trouble. I'm in big trouble if I don't believe that somebody in here believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. I've been getting some good stuff at this convention. You know, I had resolved that I wasn't going to get dressed and all that. You know, I just kind of put on my sweatsuit and flip-flops. I said, I'm going to lounge all day. Because I get caught up in that stuff. You know, and I made a commitment back to God again a couple days ago about some areas of my life where I've been falling short at. You know, like I got a gambling problem. I like to play the lottery, the big four, the pick three, cash five, Powerball, and the ultimate, the scratch offs. And the thing that keeps me moving, in it, stuck in it, refusing to surrender it, is the win. I got a check in my bag now. I need the cash from the Pennsylvania Department of Lottery. But the insanity is that I've been here in this spot for some years. For about the last four. Just 2 years ago, I was living from paycheck to paycheck. Not even really paycheck to paycheck. But I was living on the overdraft. So I never really saw the goddamn paycheck. You know. Because I was living on the overdraft and the check was covering the overdraft. See, then I get some freedom for that because one of the things, some of the evidence that I know that God has been working in my life. See, God had to show me in the area of finances because I needed that visual hookup with him to know that he really had my back, right? And it come into money. I tell you, I gave y'all a little history that I used to boost. So I come from the place of hustling, you know, fast money, crack, all the drugs in the world, you know, all that go together. So now I'm clean. God done showed me through the evidence of putting the money back so I could clean up my life one more time. Get out of the overdraft. Get the credit cards down because I'll be living on them when I'm unmanageable in my life. Do y'all get to see it? Nah, because I'll be sharp, new boots, you know. Looking on the outside like it's all right. But on the inside, I'm humiliated in front of God. So I made a commitment the other day. How about the thing just says stop? And I was like, what do you mean stop? You know. If I can't tell y'all the truth, who can I tell it to? Thing said stop, and I said, God, you know, like, my number is coming though. You know, I hit the number three times last week, and that thing said it's still coming. And I'm talking about, you know, gotta get the number, and I done start a new routine in the morning on my way to work. You know, on my way in, I got this spot, I stop, play my numbers, drop about $60, $70 on the scratch off. Fuck that, I'm winning. The insanity behind keep spending my money on the goddamn lottery, but I say I want to be a goddamn homeowner. How I'm going to be a homeowner when I'm fucking up the deposit money? Excuse my language, you know I'm pretty excited about this thing here. But more importantly, I'm excited about that thing that came to me the other day and said, stop. The thing came to me the other day and said, stop. It said, just stop. And the It Works How and Why, step two, it says that even after years clean, when we have been working a program of recovery and seeking change. Because look, in spite of that horrible spot that I just told you about, my inner and my outer unmanageability, like I have still been in the process of recovery. You know, I don't want to take away from that. And I think I'm saying that more for me because my disease convinces me that when I fall short, I'm not a goddamn recovering addict. So I'm saying that for me. It says we may experience periods when life seems meaningless. When we may experience a sense of alienation too painful to ignore. Right before the word stop came, it was too painful because I've been here before. And I can't ignore it and act like it ain't real. It's something wrong when my trash can got all the week's worth of numbers in it. It's about 50,000 tickets in the trash. And I'm hiding them from my kids because I really don't want them to see how many fucking numbers I'm playing. Or my partner. Really don't want to tell my partner that after I clean it all up, I keep fucking it all up. Thursday night, I said, God, you know, I can't take it no more. I said, you know, the wind seemed like it's coming. Yeah, I hit the number a few times. Yeah, I got a check on the way and, you know, all that. And I said, but, you know, I really don't know how to stop. And he said, just stop. You know, and it's shit. Simple solution for a complicated addict like me. You know, you could, you know, like, people used to say, you got a problem, Teresa. I used to be like, huh? You know, I was 80 pounds, dressed all in silk. Liz Claiborne slacks was a size zero. And you couldn't tell me that I wasn't sharp. Wasn't being no mother to my son. I was about 19 years old. I had been in and out of jail already since 14. I had nothing to idolize or emulate except for my hustling partners. And everybody was going to jail, so I thought that that was the right thing to be doing. So I'm telling you that when something as simple as that that says stop, I couldn't really get in touch with that like that. But one of the things that I have gotten in here from some step work and from my sponsor is to pick up the literature and read it when you feel like you just don't know what to do and pray. So I prayed and I said, you know what, God? You done showed me the evidence. I can't even keep acting like I don't know. You done gave it to me. I know that you got my best interest at heart. You done laid hands on me. You know, you've been carrying me through. You done carried me through active addiction, the horrors of that. So now comes down to, you know, that third step decision, turning my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him. Because, you know, it just don't work just for the crack. It works for every area of your life. You know, that's what they tell me around here. It says that no matter how sincere our efforts at turning it over, we will make mistakes, wander off course, and experience moments of doubt. However, with each setback, we are given a new opportunity to renew our commitment to live by spiritual principles. Part of the process of surrendering to God's will is to surrender to spiritual principles such as honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, trust, and faith. And how about the first thing that happened is that I told myself I'm having a problem. Admitting it to myself that I have a problem. being open to believe that the God of my understanding is going to fulfill everything for me through the process of the transformation from me saying that I got a problem. So, you know, Friday came. Because, see, this is the hit here. You know, that moment thing that happens where you be in desperation and you be asking for God's help. Like, he quell it. He push the thing down. He comfort you. But then here come the next day before the number come out. You know. I was off on Friday and I was going up to Philly for deposition. And something was like, go to the spot. Put the daytime number in. And I'm telling you, I was scared to do that. Because I had just the day before told God that I can't do it no more. And I believe that you got my best interest at heart and that you're going to take care of me. I ain't go play. But it went down a little bit. So I'm walking past as I leave the lawyer office because I just got to see the number now. You know, see what came out. It wasn't one of my numbers. But I didn't play the nighttime number and I didn't put them in for the weekend. So I got a shot. You know, long as I continue to do what it is that I need to do here and practice the spiritual principles in my life, I'll be able to make it. You know what I mean? So can I tell you the truth and still be your friend? You know, like, I, in saying that prayer the other day, you know, to God after something says stop, you know, like, I want to start bringing some other people in my life that ain't rationalizing and justifying my nonsense. You know, some new people besides the sponsor, because, you know, the sponsor, she ain't going to do nothing but keep giving you the truth anyway, you know, and you make a decision about whether or not you want to take the suggestion or not. But I want to start involving more people that's willing to tell me the truth. Because I got a friend right now in my life, right? And I'm scared to tell her the truth about some things that I see because of my own stuff. You know that own stuff that I done already set it on up. So because I'm contracting, you know, on the relationship with my friends, they also got me contracted too. Because you know it's a two-way street. You know, you being contract together with the manipulation. Both of y'all be manipulating each other. Nobody's telling nobody the truth. Or y'all telling each other the truth, but it's somewhat. With a little cut on it. So I've been praying to ask God because guess what? One of the things that I've learned so far here in the program is that we are each other's eyes and ears. And by me not having the willingness to stop the nonsense in my own life, I'm dying and I'm killing my friends because I'm setting up the contracts. And I'm saying that it's cool because this is how people act anyway. But that's an old idea. That's some old information from my bag of mistrust. Because if you get too close to me, you might not like me. I thought that I had grown above that. But when he gave me that topic and I told myself the truth going down the steps and coming back up, I find that I still got a little bit more truth telling to be telling to myself so that I can change the condition of my relationships with others. Then I start asking myself, well, what is it about me that I'm inviting this nonsense into my life? That I'm setting up these incestuous relationships with other people so we can be lying to each other. You know, like we might be telling ourselves the truth about something, but when it comes down to that core stuff, like you obsessed, compulsed, and locked, and you might need to take a step back and call your sponsor, make a meet. You know that raw stuff. Like, I think that I've gotten a couple years here. I don't wonder why he talked to me like that now. But I'm going to keep coming back because you know what? If I got the, thank God for the awareness of it. And maybe that's what I needed to get here this weekend, lounging. That it's time to start. If the thing says stop, what tells me that it was just telling me to stop with the gambling? It probably was saying stop to everything. Make a change. Shit, that's a big ass risk there. I don't know about y'all, but that's a little frightening. But I want those people in my life. I want those meaning. I want to make my relationships in my life a little bit more meaningful. You know, because one of the things that I've gotten in here is that the program gave me a promise of freedom. So if it gave me a promise of freedom, then that means that I really don't have to rely on the old bag no more. You know, I'm grateful. Is this your five minutes? Is that what she said? Wow. I did good, y'all, because guess what? Normally, look, I be so locked with fear that I be done sat down within 15 minutes. I hurry up, get it on now, and be like, thanks for allowing me to share. But I thank God, you know, just for the willingness, you know, because I know that the program do work. I don't never want to use again. And I don't care how many times I fall short. I don't care about none of that extra stuff. I'm just not using it. I'm going to keep coming back here and just tell the truth. You know, but ain't that deep though? Like, what y'all going to do to me if I did come in and tell the truth? You know, like, seriously, like, but in my mind, it'd be like, don't say that. That third-way conversation, y'all know what I'm talking about. Now, y'all in here acting like y'all know about that third-way conversation that you be having by yourself, convincing yourself not to do a thing. It's called a disease. So, I just don't want to use no more, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Teresa. And for our next speaker, it'll be Tony B.
Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps or 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to help each other to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. I'm an addict called Tony.
Hey, Tony.
I'm grateful to be clean. I'm real grateful to be alive. And first, I want to thank Almighty God for the gift of this moment. And I'd like to ask that if it's not an imposition on anybody, just turn to somebody. And tell them, no matter what, I'll be there for you. No matter what, I'll be there for you. And listen, and I needed to hear that. Because on a topic, with a topic like, can I tell you the truth and still be your friend? That at the end of the day, no matter what you feel about me or what you feel about somebody else or feel about a group, we still need to be there for each other. No matter what, because help don't always look like help, and you have no idea who God might place in your way next to the drug. So we do need to be here for each other. It is an honor and a privilege to speak with my friend, Teresa. You know, we are both members of the Small Wonder area out of Wilmington and Newark, Delaware now. Just moved. And I'm real grateful. You know, the topic being, can I tell you the truth and still be your friend? I truly believe God has a way of doing what God does because he can. And he just invited me probably about 2 weeks ago to speak on a topic at another celebration called Will the Real Me Stand Up? And at that particular meeting, he did some things with me. If anybody knows what regurgitation is, it just kind of came out. And it was out without my permission, actually. But what I come to find out that after that meeting, I was in a space that, you know, my clean date is September the 6th, 1991. And a Just for the Day program, I have 14 years, 7 months, and 2 days clean. They actually let me know downstairs that I have 5,328 days clean. And that's some heavy shit right there, man. Right? But I say that because the time that I've been here, I've developed this thing called an image and ego. So how can I tell you the truth about me and still hold on to this image and ego? Right? So as I'm sharing, and I mean, stuff just started coming out. How can I really get in touch with the fact that I was molested as a kid by a family friend and was so bound and held and pushed it all the way down that I was unable to identify the fact that even though I knew it was wrong, I might have enjoyed it. Right? And that the fact, like the contradiction, and I'm confused about my, you know, I'm just all over the place. But see, fast forward into adolescence, you know, it still comes up. You know what I mean? This stuff starts happening again, and I'm still like, you know, I know it's wrong. But who do I tell? How can I tell? Because I'm really not sure. So we come into active addiction, right? Now, I'm a true believer. Through the step process, I understood that I had this disease long before I ever used. Because I was the commando kid. Because, see, I heard you talk about having stuff down in the girls. See, I was the guy who believed, like, if I had enough bazooka bubblegum, because bazooka bubblegum was a penny, and it came with a cartoon called Bazooka Joe. And that if I had all the bazooka bubblegum when I'm in elementary school, I could tell you, I controlled the playground. Right? So I used to do the commando raid down the hall in the middle of the night on my knees under the bed, parents' bed, up on the dresser where there was a wallet, bring the wallet back down, grab some money, put the wallet back up there, and do commando back down the hallway, only to go buy some bazooka bubblegum so I can control the playground. Right? And if you weren't a part of my circle, I could say no. Total manipulation and trying to control something. Our basic text says control is impossible the moment it's suggested. I didn't know that back then. I just knew I had some control. But fast forward into active addiction, right? I don't know about anybody else, but it is truly about using some drugs. I didn't care what I needed to do. See, stealing was easy to me, and it wasn't fulfilling. I always got off on the unacceptable shit. You know what I mean? I was a punk, so I wasn't going to try and break in your house. I wasn't going to try and steal your car because that gave you an opportunity to shoot me. So I wasn't doing that, but to be propositioned on the street. Now I'm telling you the truth about me, and who you see standing before you is a man with an image and an ego to tell you that he used to prostitute himself with men just to get high. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't know if anybody else had did that, but this one did. All right? And whether you still want to be my friend or not, guess what? God's my friend, and I'm going to be all right. All right? But what I come to understand, that as I shared that just a couple of weeks ago, I had folks come up to me, right, and say, listen, not that they had that same experience, but like they understood and really respected the truth. Because, see, I understand, like, the truth is up front. You get honest later, right? So if I'm going to tell you the truth, because, see, I believe, like, when someone asks as me to sponsor them, I am bound. I have to let them know who I am for two reasons. Two reasons. One is so they can have the choice to say, I don't want your crazy ass sponsoring me. Oh, hell no. Or give them the opportunity to say to themselves, listen, if Tone can share some shit like that, then I can really get honest with him. And he's not going to take my shit and run. Because I truly believe, like, listen, even when I was using, there was a thing. You just didn't dime people out. Now they wearing T-shirts about, you know, don't squeal. But that was the shit that you just didn't do without even having to wear a T-shirt. You just didn't squeal. But I'm finding out, like, listen, our literature says something real hip. They say some shit like, we've come to find out that we may appear confident and attractive on the outside, but we're really hiding a shaky, insecure person on the inside. The masks have to go. Now, how about I really want the mask to go, but I got so many of them on, I don't know which one to remove first. Or I really can't even identify the fact that I'm wearing a mask.
How about that?
It's just who I am. So I get in this stuff called step work. Thank God for sponsorship. I got a hell of a sponsor. And I've had a couple, but each one of them has given me exactly what I needed at that particular time. Right? So I get into this stuff called step work. And see, I'm starting to, and listen, that fourth and fifth step, let me tell you. See, when I got clean, we didn't have the flat book. That's what we called the flat book. It's actually the step study guide, but we call it the flat book. Right? We had this thing called Working Step 4 in NA. This little damn manila pamphlet that made you get in touch. It made you get in touch. So I do this thing called a fourth step, and then I sit down with this fifth step. And once again, this is early in recovery, regurgitation started happening. Right? And I started sharing, and the sponsor shared some stuff with me. But the one thing that I really understood that he wasn't doing, he wasn't judging me. He didn't judge me. And that felt good, but because I still, and there was a topic in the convention a little bit earlier about unaddressed issues having babies, right? Let me tell you, if you don't address some shit, it's going to pop up. It might not come up as a baby, but that issue might come back as Chucky. It's going to say, I'll be your friend to the end. And then it's going to turn around and hit you with a golf club. Right? So I'm understanding a lot of stuff now, right? But one of the things that had kept me locked up was still not addressing the fact that I was molested as a kid, and my only way to deal with it was try to do it to somebody else. And still trying to walk around with an image and ego. Because, see, I'm the cat who has a real nice car who drives from the middle of the console. Like this. That's how I drive. I mean, I drive my truck the same way. But let me tell you what really goes on, right? That as I start to grow and start to, like, open up. Because, see, I could tell y'all any damn thing. Right? But when I start to tell me the truth, can I be my friend? I start being my own friend. Because when I start lying and manipulating, still at 14 years clean, still lying and manipulating, I am doing myself such an injustice. Because the worst thing I had come to find out, like, and I heard this early on, I kind of like felt it. You know, they talked about the worst thing that could happen, say in cheating or stealing, worst thing that could happen is that you get away with it. Right? Because then my mind starts telling me I can do it again. And I can do it again. And I can do it again. Until one time I just might get caught playing them lotteries. Right? But I've come, listen, I am growing up so quickly. Right? Because, see, I thought I was doing real well. I've stayed clean for the amount of time that I've stayed clean. And, yeah, it's a long time for me. I'm like right at that. I'm clean for as long as I've used. I'm right there. Is it a final destination? Oh, hell no. Nah, it ain't a final destination because I still need to keep growing. Because I still got a lot of work to do. But what I'm understanding is that at this particular time, God is doing some stuff. And all I can do is say, thank you, God. Because he's enlightening me on a whole lot of stuff. It's a hell of a thing to run smack dead into you when you're trying to duck you. You just pop up. Because you might hear, and check it out, you might hear some stuff in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous like, life just showed up. Life ain't went nowhere. Life has always been life. But I've been the one to kind of hiding under rocks. Sitting in closets and all that kind of stuff. But like, God ain't going to have it. God's got a plan with me, and my job is to just learn how to read the blueprint. Because it's already made. It's down packed. It is what it is. Here's where I am. He's telling me don't use no matter what. I never have to use again, and I bought into that. So I haven't used in almost 15 years. But there's some stuff I still need to do. And I'm going to do them. And there's some stuff that I need not do. And I'm not going to do them. There's some stuff, like, listen, I'm sharing so truthfully right now. You know what I mean? And it's really not my doing. You know what I mean? Because, yeah, I'm like Teresa. I don't know a whole lot. I don't know good majority of these people. And I could tell you any old damn thing. Right? I can tell you that I'm carrying bank, you know, because you hear Big Willie on. I was not a drug dealer. I was a drug abuser. Straight up. No, I wasn't in no penthouse. I was in a cardboard box living on a park bench. That's where I come from. But I am my mama's baby boy. You need to know that I'm my mother's baby boy. Right? Spoiled like a motherfucker. Right? But the best thing she ever did was like, you can't come back here. You can't come back here. Whether you come back with the microwave or not, you can't come back here. And got real pissed off when I took my TV out the house that she gave me. But it is such a treat to learn about you, right? If you're new and have not embarked on this wonderful God-given thing called the Steps of Narcotics Anonymous, give yourself a break and get busy. You know what I mean? I love the fact that I've got some men in my life who, because see, at almost 15 years clean, I'm still willing to be sponsored. I still call my sponsor. My sponsor actually just moved a year ago from our area. He now lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, right? His sponsor lives in North Jersey. No, actually, he just moved closer to us. He's down in Jersey. But I'm going to Vegas next week, not just for their convention, but to hang with my sponsor, to possibly get in touch with some six-step stuff. Always need some 11-step stuff. You know what I mean? But listen, I'm still willing to be sponsored. I know my sponsor's sponsor. I know his sponsor. And I know his sponsor. How important is it to know where your information's coming from? Right? Because my sponsor, with the time that he has and his education and his foresight, and, you know, he's a dynamic speaker. But listen, he's an addict. He's an addict who used to climb water spouse to get to his wife. You know, I mean, yeah. That's, yeah. He used to climb balconies and I ain't going to say her name, but hey, used to scream up the stairs. Listen, but I love my sponsor because he allows me to, you know, he's not one of those, well, you need to get in touch. You need to No. Give each other time because it's not his process. It's my process. Right? And as I spoke last couple of weeks ago, without even, just like you, I didn't even call him. Knew I was sharing. I didn't even know he was going to be there, actually. He actually flew into town. I didn't even know he was going to be there. But I was able to share, and listen, it felt real good. I actually obtained sponsees after the meeting, so it was a good thing. But I'm here to tell you, can I tell you the truth? Can I tell you the truth? Ask yourself, can I tell you the truth? I'm here to tell you that I'm telling you the truth. And I hope and I pray that no matter what anyone may feel about what I've said, just know that this guy ain't getting high. Alright? That I am no longer tricking. Right? To get high. Because see, you need to play your whole tape. The whole tape. That these are the things that I used to do. And that I will not be held hostage. Because folks try to hold each other hostage to shit. I don't know if they do that here in this area, but check it out. You know, folks will try to hold you hostage to some shit that you're dealing with. Ain't got nothing to do with them. It ain't happening to me. No more. Because it's about how much we allow ourselves to be treated and to be talked to. I got a thing about distance. Just don't come arm's length in. Because if you come arm length in, personal space. It's on. I don't know what I might do. I personally don't like confrontation. Because I black out. I black out. I really do. Until it's over. So, you know, I'm feeling real good because I too had just been asked maybe in a half hour before this meeting, you know, and was more than willing to step up to the plate. And it just struck me with the topic and my prior topic a couple of weeks ago, how close they were together. Like, how can I really say no to God? Because that ain't nothing but God doing his thing. I really, really believe that. So I'm more than grateful for the opportunity to share my experience, my strength, and my hope. Because I've got a lot of experience. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of stuff that I do know. Not only about not using, but I know about some recovery and I know about how to have a nice way of life. I live real well. I live real well. I have a real good job who on September the 2nd put me on an airplane and sent me to storm ravaged New Orleans. This is after they just got the water out. So that was an experience that I am grateful that I had. Because what I witnessed was probably the second worst thing next to my active addiction. But the thing that I got from the people was a sense of, man, gratitude. Stick-to-itiveness. We gonna be back. God's in charge. Because it's something I'm sure none of us really can understand, losing everything. And I'm talking about losing everything. So I'm real grateful. And listen, I'm gonna touch on a little bit of gratitude before I close, right? Because, and I've done this in the past, and I just want to recite some poetry for y'all, right? It's pretty cool, right? It's something that I learned back in the 70s. Now, I know I only look about 21, but I'm an old motherfucker, right? But it was a piece of poetry, and it was set to music back then, right? And I'm sure there's a few people in here that will know exactly what this poetry comes from. You know, and it says, though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, gangster white walls, TV antenna in the back. You may not have a car at all, but just remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you got, though you may not drive a great big Cadillac. Diamond in the back, some rooftop, digging the scene with a gangster lean. Woo-hoo, that's all I got.